What a delight to be here on Sabbath evening. What do you say? Yes. This is our last evening in our week of prayer meetings. Have you been blessed by them? It's been good to be together, isn't it? And I've been encouraged myself as we've come through the week and just seen the number of us who've come together to encourage one another, to listen to the word, and most importantly, to be able to spend that time together seeking God's blessing and seeking his intervention in our lives and in our church and in our communities. It's great to welcome everybody here this evening, and particularly those who are also watching online. Glad to have everybody with us, and we just trust that this evening, again, the Spirit of God will be with us. You know, Jesus promised that where just two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be here in the midst of us. So we can be very still and very confident and just let the Spirit grant to us the peace that Jesus promised. Let's just bow our heads together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you so much for the gift of the Sabbath, this time that you have set aside so that we can meet with you. Lord, the privilege of coming together to worship is something that just can't be overvalued. We appreciate it so much and we thank you for it. We thank you for the assurance that Jesus is here with us, right in the midst, according to his promise. Please bless us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that your will may be done, your name may be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to start praising God with our first song, Give Thanks. I'm sure you've had a great week, and we give God thanks for the rain this week, even though there's been a bit thundery, and at least he's looked after us and he's brought us this evening. We'll start with Give Thanks. Actually, I might ask everyone to stand.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Leave it there. We'll do the next second one, which is I Need Thee, Precious Jesus. No, sorry, I Need Thee Every Hour. Got it wrong.
Most gracious. us, Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to says in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
Say that. Been wanting to say that all the week, eh? It's been a great week. I've been blessed, I think, beyond my expectations. You know, when you have, a responsibility of the Word of God. It's not what you're going to say, but it's what you understand yourself about the message. And it's been incredible. It's been an incredible journey for me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please don't allow your word to come back void. We've experienced this week the power of your promise. We've experienced, Lord, your faithfulness. We've experienced your love. And tonight, Lord, help us to understand the most important key of Psalm 91, and that's Jesus. And help us to learn a little bit more about him, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, can you please just lower the volume a little bit, please? I just want to read this chapter with you one more time this week. Has it blessed you? Have you gone home and read it yourself and see what else you can come up with? Because, look, the hardest thing of this week, it was trying to choose stories and the upper room experiences. I've got about 10, 12 stories, and so when I was trying to choose 6 or 7, I was struggling because I like all of them. And I'm sure that if you open that chapter, you'll come up with more stories and more lessons. And so it's a great blessing. I want to read it with you one more time, and I just want to highlight 2 points that are so important in our understanding of Psalm 91. They are extremely important, and I've missed it. I've missed these 2 points for a long time. But we're going to look at them tonight. So whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foul snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I just want to highlight this verse first, because He loves me. I think we've put enough nails on this particular point. And I found something very interesting this week, and I'm sure you've read it as well. And it says something like this: loving God with all your heart and soul and strength means that our love for Him should be supreme. Should be supreme over our love for everything and everyone else. Have you read that this week? You have, right? It's in the lesson. Yeah, Sunday. Right? It says, our love should be supreme over our love for everything and everyone else, because He is the foundation and ground of all our being and existence and everything else. Man, that is strong. Love for Him should put our love for everything else in proper perspective. Isn't that amazing? The Lord has been speaking to us all week about this point. Because love is at the center of Psalm 91. If you noticed that as we've been reading Psalm 91, we've been looking at everything the Lord has promised to us in a physical way. Everything has been physically. Protect me from pestilence, protect me from the snare, protect me from the arrow, protect me from terror. Everything has been corporate, that I'm not going to get hurt. But at the heart of Psalm 91, there are three verses that there has been a shift from the physical to the spiritual. For He will command His angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will tramp on the great dragon and the old serpent. That's a spiritual war right there. It's about being delivered from a spiritual war. Did you notice that? Did you notice that of Psalm 91? That right at the heart of the chapter, there's a spiritual war that the Lord wants to deliver us from. Do those verses sound familiar to you? Have you read those verses? I tell you what. Jesus was very acquainted with those verses in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. When the devil comes to Him and he tempts Him, He quotes those verses. He knew the importance of Psalm 91. This is our foe. This is our enemy. How can he know more than us and trust on this more than us? He quoted that. But Jesus knew best, because He leaves number 13 out. He leaves that verse out because it talks about Himself. He talks about the deliverance of God from Him. The great serpent. Isn't that amazing? That's the bottom line of Psalm 91. Unlocking the promises of Psalm 91 is about unlocking the promises of God, which is the last word of verse 16. And show Him my salvation. I think that's the bottom line. And Jesus knew that. And in Mark 13, we find, Mark 14, we find the story of Jesus and His disciples. And it says in the scripture that, and Jesus tells his disciples that I've been longing to meet with you one more time. It was hours before his crucifixion. And Jesus wanted to meet with his disciples. So he sends two of his disciples to go in and prepare this room for Passover. And so he had arranged this previously, because he really wanted to be there with his disciples. Let me tell you something about the upper room. The upper room, in the upper room, you're not alone. The experience of the upper room, you're not alone. There's always someone with you in the upper room, and that's Jesus. I know there's a scripture there that says, where there's two or three in my name, I will be there. But there are other scriptures that say, wherever you are, I will be with you. Jesus will never, ever leave us, especially if we're searching for him. I can assure you that your upper room experiences will not be alone. And you got to be aware of this fact, that when you build an upper room and when you create an upper room, you're not alone. Jesus is with you in there. And my question is, what did he tell his disciples up in that upper room? What are the things that Jesus tells us up in the upper room when we're gathered there in the Spirit? What did Jesus say to his disciples? In the upper room, Jesus will always offer you what you need to meet the challenges of life. Not only he ate with them, but he also taught them. He taught his disciples. Prayer is a synonym of the upper room. And when we say prayer, prayer is also listening to what Jesus has to say to us. We're so used to talking to God, and we never stop to listen. Does it happen to you? I'm a chatterbox with God. I like to talk. I caught myself so many times chatting, and I forget to listen. The best prayer is when you are quiet and still before the Lord. Let him talk to you. Just listen to his voice. Meditate. Jesus made a covenant in the upper room. He counseled his disciples. He told them about the danger that was ahead of them. Jesus told them to be on your guard. You need to be on your guard. You'll be faced with temptation. You might deny me. You might forsake me. You should be praying that they enter not into temptation. That's what Jesus is teaching us in the upper room. Jesus not only gave them bread. That's the feeding that we have in the upper room. But he also gave them wine, which is a renew of the cleansing with the blood of Christ in the upper room. Jesus also washed their feet. Humility. The upper room is a good place to learn humility. We can't miss that point. Jesus was just hours just hours before his crucifixion, and he needed to impart this time with his disciples because he knew how important it was for them to have that connection with him. We need to renew that personal devotion with God. This is how you become part of the promise of Psalms 91. And Daniel, in his experience, he was very aware of this connection that you got to have with Jesus. In chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, it says that there's a new kingdom. Daniel had been spared from the previous empire. He had a great reputation. And the king realized the spiritual connection that he had with God. And he saw in him a very wise and very intelligent man. And he puts him in charge of practically his kingdom. Above 120 other ministers, in charge of about 17 different provinces in the kingdom of Persia. But Daniel never changed who he was. He always did what he did. That connection with God. And one day, the ministers, they realize that this foreigner had been put in a high place, higher than them. And so they got together and said, we need to do something about this. And you know, we don't like what's going on here. And so they went to the king as a group. And they presented a plan to the king. And the plan was to I guess get Daniel into trouble more than anything. How cynical it was. Imagine this group of ministers going to the king. Oh, king lives forever. You know, the king was thinking, what's going on here, boys? That's not usual. And so they decreed a law. And they said, oh, king, we want to install a new law, and no one is allowed to worship any other god or anything else but you. And if we see anyone worshiping or doing anything contrary to that, we've agreed that we're going to send them to the lion's den. And so Daniel... Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what did he do? What did he do? Did he say, oh my goodness, now what do I do now? I'm in trouble. Well, it says he went home to his upstairs room, his upper room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. Nothing changed in his life. Why did he open his windows to Jerusalem? Well, when Solomon, a few decades, centuries earlier, he built this temple, the tabernacle, and in his prayer, he said, wherever you are around the nation or around the world, if you open your windows and pray towards the temple, God will hear you. And so Daniel knew that promise. So he would open the windows three times a day. So a law. Anyone caught praying, Daniel, Darius, for 30 days, he would be thrown to the lion's den. I think it's important in the upper room to have a direction, to have a reason why we have an upper room. I think it's important to understand why we are there. Because our windows are open to the New Jerusalem. And that's the place where we're going. We should focus our energy towards the promise of what Psalm 91:16 says in the last word. We should focus our energy on the promises of Psalm 91, on the promise of salvation. Just like Daniel. Because of his action of faith, was thrown in the lion's den. Why did God do great things for Daniel, do you think? You see, Daniel is delivered from the lions because of what happens in the upper room. As a matter of fact, the lion's den was the safest place that Daniel could be. Everywhere else, everyone else wanted to kill Daniel, except the lions. Isn't that great? There wasn't a safer place than in the lion's den. Isn't that amazing? I love that story. And I tell you what, the king suspected that. Because he wanted to believe in the God of Daniel. Because of his faithfulness. He saw that he wasn't afraid, that he wasn't a coward. That nothing changed his relationship with God. Not high, low, with death. Nothing changes him from the love of God. And the king saw that. If there's anything I want you to remember this week, is this next point. Daniel's safety and deliverance was never a once-in-a-lifetime event that delivered him from the mouth of the lions, but a continuous state of refuge and fortress in the shadow of the Almighty. Did you hear that? Should I read it again? Because I want you to remember this. Daniel's safety and deliverance was never a once-in-a-lifetime event. It wasn't something that it only happened once as a coincidence. The deliverance that delivered him from the mouth of the lions, but a continuous state of refuge and fortress in the shadow of the Almighty. We can't miss that point. If we want the promises of Psalm 91 to become a reality in our lives, we need to invest in an upper room. We need to invest in an upper room. Be alert and of sober mind. This is Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verses 13. We will trample on the old serpent through the blood of Jesus Christ, because he has defeated him already. Are you being harassed by the devil lately? Are you being harassed by this lion every now and then? Can you feel his presence sometimes? Can you feel that he wants to destroy you? Can you feel that he wants to just muck up your life, your marriage, your health, your finances, your spiritual connection with God? Do you feel how angry he is? Well, let me tell you, victory over the lion, over that old serpent, happens in the upper room. It's not your fight. It's not your heel that tramples on his head. It's Jesus Christ that defeated him. And we only have to claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Victory over the lion happens in the upper room, and not just once or twice, but like Daniel, three times a day. David says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. It's not an event. The upper room is not an event. It's not like a 6 in the morning to 6:15. It's not a 5:30 thing in the morning. It's not an 8 o'clock thing. It's not a 5:30 afternoon. It's not a 12 o'clock prayer. It's what? Continuous. 24/7. My mind is engaged 24/7 with the Almighty. I dwell in his presence 24/7. Because it's not an event. It's not now I'm going to go to the presence of God. That is dangerous. Don't let the presence of God leave you. And don't you leave the presence of God. Otherwise, you're going to end up just like the prodigal son, feeding pigs. And from there, you're going to have to lift up your head and recognize that the Father had everything for you. Even though his life was on the line, he was still going to pray his regular time. I love these verses. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. He was expecting something. He knew. He would have been very disappointed if he didn't see what he saw. When he came near the den, he couldn't even wait until he got there. He meters or 10, 20 meters, he cried out to Daniel. Daniel, he said, called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, because he knew that Daniel would spend morning, evening, night, every time, 24/7 with Jehovah. How can he be wrong? Servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, again, continually. Not just in the upper room, continually being able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel. Remember, angels will pick you up, it says. He knew Psalm 91. I'm sure he prayed Psalm 91 all night. Was he afraid? Of course he was. He was very afraid, but yet he wasn't, because he trusted in God. God sent his angel. And he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not heard me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Now, there's something very important. When we dwell in the upper room, we find forgiveness. And when the devil comes and he wants to harm us, we can claim, because I was found innocent because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? You have no right with me. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found in him because he had trusted in his God. Amazing. Let me ask you a question. What do you allow to interfere with the regular time with God? Is there something that always interferes with your time with God? Daniel was very busy, but he would not let anything interrupt those appointments with God, even if it meant he would die. That is the kind of commitment we need. That is the kind of commitment we need to have to get into those upper rooms, those places of prayer. And if we have those kinds of commitments, then if we end up in the lion's den, God will shut the lion's mouth. Amazing story. I challenge you tonight that Psalm 91 can become a reality in your life, a spiritual reality. And when we read that psalm next time, we can highlight the importance of what God is trying to do in our lives. And the bottom line is, he wants to save you. And he wants to save me. Not just from the pestilence that are around us, but he wants to give us eternal life. Let me ask you for the last time. Do you have an upper room? Are you afraid of heights? Spiritual heights? Father in heaven, thank you for Psalm 91. Thank you that you have given us such an amazing promise. But at the same time, you have shown us how much you love us. And help us this week that your word will not return void in our relationship to you. That today, if we haven't yet, we can make changes in our lives. The time is short. We know that your return is very close. We don't want to miss out, Lord. I don't want to miss out. I want to go with you. So I pray that you help me to prepare myself to dwell in the shadows of the Almighty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. End of the week. I hope that we can go home and start working on our resolutions, spiritual resolutions. We don't have to wait until December 31. We can start right now. We can start right now. Amen.